At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
A warm up from the low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hughes-Pierce, and now part of the VSiN Family and Podcast. And we've got another conference preview today, as in the second segment, we're going to be joined by Lance Hertzler. He does a great job taking a look at all things Montana basketball. He is a mid-major madness editor as well, so we're going to be taking a look at the big sky with him, looking at all the rosters, looking at the guys that are coming and going. We wound up seeing a couple coaching changes out there with this conference as well, so we're going to have a great time taking a look at all things big sky and what we can expect out of these rosters with him in the second segment. And in the final segment of this preview, I'm going to be giving you guys my projector or finish for the big sky. And in the first segment, as I typically do, we're going to be taking a look at styles of play and betting trends in terms of all these teams in the big sky. So we're going to have a good time with it today. And if you ever do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_D1. Keep in mind, letter CM. Maybe does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast. Find that 5-star review. Just heads up that I am doing one of these conference previews for every single conference out there in college basketball. And with that, because I am doing Big Sky preview today with regards to the news and notes of college basketball that we wound up seeing on Thursday, I'll be recapping those with Fridays tomorrow. So that should be all the house cleaning that we need before we wind up getting down to business. So let's take a look at the Big Sky. And with the Big Sky, there is one commonality in this conference. Not a lot of defense being played, and boy, it's not a ton of defense, as you only really had one team rank in the top 50 in all of college basketball in terms of just total possessions per game. But you take a look at some of these teams, and the Big Sky also is in this vein. Not a lot of defense at all. Idaho wound up leading the way in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. They were 349th in the country. That was not necessarily too terrific, but you got a lot of teams that they weren't far off. Northern Colorado, they wound up ranking 331st with this regard. You also wound up having Northern Arizona, another team with an N in front of their name. They wound up ranking 329th. You didn't wind up seeing a heck of a lot of defense out of some of these other ancillary teams as well, like a Eastern Washington, who wound up being 270th, though in their first year, they actually did a very good job considering everything that wound up happening under a new coaching regime. I will give a little bit of credit where credit is due, but down the list, Montana wound up being 226th with this regard. Portland State was not necessarily a buzzsaw on defense either. You wound up having Weber State wind up clocking at 190th, and now they've got a little bit of a new coaching regime that is going to be coming in as well. As Portland State, to my point a little bit earlier, 166th in the country, so and you're able to go down the list. I don't know if you wind up having a single team rank at the top 75 in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis in the entirety of this conference, so that was a little bit of an issue for many of these teams. But what you wound up finding with regards to the totals is that when things wound up getting in conference, with these teams not being able to stop a nosebleed, you wind up seeing a whole lot of games wind up going over the total. And as a matter of fact, the top over team in this conference in Northern Colorado, 22 overs, 12 unders, and a push. Just 12 teams wind up having a better over rate than them last season, and they were the tip of the iceberg of a conference that you wind up seeing it with a bunch of teams, as you only had two teams wind up playing fewer overs than unders. Northern Arizona at 13 overs, 15 unders, and two pushes. Sacramento State, who they're under the tutelage now of David Patrick, 12 overs, 14 unders as a push. As Montana, 18 overs, 11 unders. Eastern Washington, 19 overs, 12 unders and a push. Idaho State, 17 overs, 11 unders. Weber State, 18 overs, 12 unders and a push. Idaho, 16 overs, 11 unders, 2 pushes. Southern Utah, now out of the fold, 19 overs and 14 unders. Montana State, 18 overs, 15 unders, and then a relatively 50-50 split with Portland State, 15 overs to 14 unders. And it really wound up cranking up in terms of conference play, as in conference play, two teams wound up having an over rate below 56.5%. The two that I mentioned earlier, Sacramento State and Northern Arizona. As a matter of fact, Northern Colorado, Idaho State, Montana, and Eastern Washington all wound up playing at least 66.7% of their conference games over the total. That is just absolutely nuts. Now, when things were in non-conference play, you actually did wind up seeing this be a little bit more of an under conference. You only wound up having three teams wind up playing more overs than unders, and I will say this as well. You did wind up having six teams be approximately 50-50 with regards to their over and under rate, but that is something that I wound up finding to be very surprising. And with the Big Sky, it is one of the most spread out conferences in all of college basketball. You've got a team as northward as Portland State, and then you've got a team in Flagstaff, Arizona, with a bunch of teams in between out there in the Montanas. So travel, it is quite illustrious with regards to this conference, to say the least. So you take a look at how home teams wind up doing in terms of this conference, and there really wasn't a lot of advantage, which I think is the contrary to what a lot of people would believe. Because Montana, they had a 9-5 against the spread record at home. Idaho, 8-5 against the spread record at home. Everyone else on their home floor wound up going 6-8 against the spread or worse, including Weber State, who was just a dumpster fire at home. 2-11 at covering the spread at home. Northern Colorado, 2-8-1 against the spread at home. You wound up having Idaho State, Sacramento State finish 3-8 against the spread at home. It was very cataclysmic, and I think a lot of it had to do with there was no defense played by anyone in this conference whatsoever, and you're also dealing with gyms in which they aren't necessarily super-duper packed. We're going to call it what it is. Having to go to Greeley, Colorado is not like having to go to Cameron Indoor Stadium. I'm sorry, Greeley, Colorado, but it is what it is. But take a look at the way that these teams wound up performing on the road. Only two teams wound up finishing with a below 500 rate in terms of cover rate on the road. Southern Utah is no longer in the conference. And Montana, they went 4-9-1 against the spread on the road. You had a bunch of road warriors in this conference. Eastern Washington, 14-5 against the spread on the road. Idaho, Weber State, 9-4 against the spread. Montana State, Portland State, Northern Arizona, all either 9-5 or 9-5-1 against the spread on the road. Northern Colorado, 10-6-1 against the spread on the road. So these teams were able to do an absolutely masterful job of being able to have their shooting travel. And you wound up having a lot of good three-point shooting teams in this conference. As Northern Colorado, for instance, this team was number 32 in all of college basketball in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis. But if you want to dive into the nitty-gritty, they were able to be a team that, as well, was able to have down counts, be able to give you right around 21 points per contest. He was someone that, just by himself, wound up shooting in the neighborhood about 42% from three-point range. And you take a look at them, they were a team that they very much relied upon the three-point shot. And oftentimes, the three-point shot was able to bail them out. They were 13th in the country in terms of overall team three-point shooting percentage. And then you wind up going on down the line, and you wind up having Idaho and Montana State finish 35th and 36th in terms of three-point shooting percentage, including Montana State having this ridiculous split. They shot 32.2% from three-point range at home, 39.1% on the road. That was absolutely ridiculous, and goes to show you that there wasn't a lot of defense being played by a lot of these teams at home. Eastern Washington, they wound up being 58th in the country in terms of three-point shooting percentage. You also wound up having a relatively good three-point shooting season out of Weber State, who was 107th with this regard as well, and they wound up having a situation where they shot 29.3% from three-point range at home, 38.9% on the road. I am not even kidding. I don't know how. I don't know why, but there were so many teams in this conference that they shot ridiculously good from three-point range on the road. Northern Arizona, a little bit more traditional, 35% from three-point range at home, 33.7 on the road. They were 130th overall in terms of three-point shooting percentage, so a little bit more to the norm there, but we wound up seeing it with so many teams out there in this conference, which is why you wound up seeing those just tremendous home and road splits. And for Portland State, This was the team that wound up getting hot towards the end of the season. They went 4-13 straight up to begin the season. They were dealing with the first-year head coach in Jace Coburn. They had a bunch of transfers, and they're going to have a lot of transfers once again this season, but they went 15-8 against the spread in conference play, including just running off a big, giant flurry at the end of the season, in which they wound up being able to go 10-4 against the spread in their final 14 games, so matching that straight-up mark that they wound up having to end the campaign as well. So it's a very strange conference in which home court advantage didn't wind up meaning much, even though you wound up having just a boatload of travel in general. This is a conference that is full of teams that they don't necessarily go super duper up-tempo. It's a little bit more of an up-tempo conference, but it's nothing to the extreme. Just lots of three-point shooting. Lots of teams are able to hit threes, and not a lot of teams are able to guard threes. So that is going to make things very interesting, and I think that even though you do wind up losing Southern Utah from last season, so that drops this conference from 11 teams to 10. We're going to see a lot of the same this season, and here to talk about that in a little bit more detail and how these rosters are going to be looking, that'd be Lance Hartzler. He does a great job over there at Mid-Major Madness. He also does a great job with 406 Montana Sports and the Missoulian. Does a great job taking a look at Montana basketball. And he's going to be joining me next to help me break down this conference right here. I'm Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Pearson, now a part of the Eastern Family Podcast, the Big Sky Preview Edition.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Spears, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Here to join me on this Big Sky Preview Edition, it is Lance Hartzler. He does a great job following Montana men's basketball over there at the Missoulian, along with 406 Sports, 406 area code out there in the great state of Montana. On top of that, this is a man that is an editor over there at Mid-Major Madness. We like those people because they pay attention to a lot of the great conferences and a lot of the great schools out there that should be getting a little bit more love. And to be able to follow Lance on Twitter, that is at Lance_Hartz, R-A-T-Z on the back half of that. And Lance, it is great to have you aboard, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Really appreciate coming on. Love talking Big Sky Hoops all the time, even though it's late June, almost July, always something to talk about.
Yes, sir. There is no shortage of basketball to talk about with regards to the transfer portal as well, because over 1,700 guys wound up entering into it. We've got a little bit of a new look Big Sky this year with having Southern Utah in the fold, which means that we don't need to bother to break them down. I will be doing that during my WAC preview, but with that said, a school that wound up seeing a lot of changes offseason, that'd be Weber State. And I think that it is going to be really interesting to see what winds up happening with Weber State, because Randy Ray was at the helm for so long for Weber State, a team that year in and year out, they typically aren't necessarily the number one team in this conference, but they're just perennially a top five team. Now, they wind up having a little bit of a regime change, and along with that, three out of their top four scorers from last year are gone, so Eric Duff does wind up having his hands full, but quite a few transfers coming in, including a guy that I like in Keith Dinwiddie from San Diego State. What do you think the outlook is for this team? Because they've got one star in Dylan Jones, but I think the question mark is who's going to be able to help him out?
You know, you mentioned the regime change. You can never count out Weber State. Even with Randy Ray, they were always at the top. Even when they weren't expected necessarily to be that good, they have always found a way to be just a thorn in the top of the Big Sky. You can always count on them to be there. I don't think anything changes. I think there's still a team that will probably be picked in the top five in the preseason polls. You mentioned Dylan Jones. He's kind of your do-it-all forward who, you know, maybe he gets more shots next year. No Kobe McEwen, no Jarek Harding, who he also played briefly with. He's played with guards who are really high-volume guys. Next year, we might actually get to see Dylan Jones be the best player, and I think that's going to be really fun to watch. He's 6'6", 240, kind of your throwback power forward in a way, but also kind of modern, so he can step out, pass, and hit threes. I love if they can build their offense around him in the high post, in two-man game. Another guy to look out for, Zahir Porter, who's coming into his senior year. He's a 6'6", lanky wing. I watched him play UM. He is a confident player. I think even with, like I said, the departure of Kobe McEwen, giving him another chance to really kind of shine. No other main ball handler kind of there. They're going to need someone to kind of pop and step up. I think he's got the biggest chance, and if he can do something, that's going to be big for them.
Yep, and to your point, if they can find that main ball handler, that guy that can give you 3.5 or so assists per game, that'd be absolutely massive for Weber State. But when you have a guy that last year wound up averaging a double-double of Mr. Dylan Jones, that's a good place to be able to start. And for Montana, they also are going to need to replace their main ball handler as Cameron Parker. He actually wound up going to Portland State. We'll get to Portland State in a few minutes, but he wound up having an interconference transfer with that regard. But for Montana as well, they wound up getting one of the biggest transfers in this conference. They bring in Deshaun Thomas. He was over at Colorado State last season, a Colorado State team that they were in the top 25 last season, wound up making the NCAA tournament. That's going to be big for Travis Zakir. missing out on Parker. That is going to be a little bit tough for this team, but they do wind up bringing back Josh Bannon. Big question I have for Montana, can they improve upon being one of the worst teams in all of college basketball in terms of offensive rebound rate and give themselves a couple more second chances?
Just by the fact that they brought in a guy like Deshaun Thomas, another underrated get was Laiolu Okeh from, I think, from MSU Denver. He's coming up from the lower runs, but he's a guy they've touted as your high energy, I'm just going to go crash the glass and be an athlete. So by the fact that they added two guys like that into the fold, their rebounding, their defense, their versatility already gets better. Jay liked to play quick. I know that's been kind of a telltale sign of last year. They played great in transition. Travis DeCure really loved to see them run. They didn't do it all that often because on defense, they do like to kind of sit back, really guard, make things tough. And that always doesn't always make times easy for transition. But and losing Cam Parker obviously hurts that. He was really kind of that engine for their transition offense. So I think their offensive rebounding should take an uptick. And my fear for them is how their guard rotation really shapes out. Cam Parker was that important for them as the sixth man of the year out of the Big Sky, the co-sixth man of the year with Raekwon Battle from Montana State. He really was their starting point guard in a sense, even though Brandon Whitney and they obviously lost Robbie Beasley the third, who was one of their best scorers, who their best three-point shooter. They lost him to a transfer to UC Davis. Their guard lineup is going to be a little funky next year. It's going to be a lot of young guys, a lot of freshmen, some guys like Josh Vasquez who have kind of been in and out of the rotation. So it's kind of TBD of how that really shapes out. You got to hope Brandon Whitney takes a step offensively. We know he's arguably the best defensive player in the league. You got to hope Josh Vasquez is able to kind of rekindle some things he had in freshman sophomore year. Freshmen like Isaiah Kerr, Jackson Knapp, you got to hope they can contribute because other than that, there's not a lot at guard for UM. But we know they got Deshaun Thomas, who's a great, solid big. Josh Bannon is a rising star in the Big Sky. And Mac Anderson is one of the more unheralded bigs in the league.
Yep, with Montana, certainly losing Cameron Parker, that is going to be hurting them a little bit. But Travis Kier always has his team towards the top of the conference. Would be hard to see anything other than that for Montana this season. And Lance is a man that is on the Montana beat, so he would know all too well about that, as we do have Lance Hartzler joining me right here on the podcast. Does a great job being able to cover Montana basketball and the Big Sky in general. And I mentioned the fact that Cameron Parker is going to be going to Portland State. And for Portland State, it's pretty much a hockey-style line change for them, as each other top seven scorers from last year are gone. Now, they did wind up bringing in some talent in the transfer portal. If Keyshawn Sanders can get back to what he wound up doing his freshman year at Toledo, where he averaged nearly 8 points per game as a solid three-point shooter, that's going to be a good get. Jarrell Satterfield, someone that wound up getting some starts at UTEP, he's able to shoot threes. Hunter Woods, someone that was able to pull in some rebounds over there at Elon. We already mentioned what you were able to get out of Cameron Parker. Once at 24 assists in a game, as that's at Sacred Heart, by the way. Bobby Harvey, he's going to be coming in from IUPUI. Kendall Munson, a former top five recruit from the state of Seattle, I believe for the class of 2020, according to 24/7 Sports. Good pieces. Question is, are these pieces all going to come together? Because for Portland State, this is a complete and utter new-look team. After last year, it was a complete new-look team that it took time for it to come together, as they won winning 10 out of their last 14 games, but dug themselves a 4-13 hole to begin the season.
Right, you mentioned that. Portland State, I named them a couple times last year. They were the most dangerous team in the Big Sky heading down the stretch. They were a fun, dangerous team to watch. They played probably one of the fastest paces, I think, in the league near the end. And like you said, it is a line change. We don't really know how all those pieces are going to fit. It's a lot of transfers, a lot of guards. I'm looking at their roster right now. I'm counting only two guys who stand 6'9 or taller. A handful, like 2, 6'7, 6'8 guys. So I think it's going to be very similar to last year, where you have one true big with four guards just running, and that's going to make them dangerous in of itself. Even if they're not that good, even if the wins don't necessarily come at a consistent rate, that is going to be a fun and dangerous team if they can keep that type of high pressure, high octane offense that they've kind of been known for the last couple of years. They've really kind of found a niche with that, really try to bother teams and be different, because a lot of the Big Sky teams, they do like to play a little slower, try to play more true bigs. If they can find a way to cause those mismatches, force teams like Montana, for instance, who play big, force them to go small and play their game, that's going to make them a dangerous team in the league, especially if Cam Parker can kind of find something as a true lead guard, because he hasn't really been that throughout his entire college career. He's always been a sixth man, kind of a second fiddle, third fiddle, where he's really just an initiator. When he's aggressive, he is one of the best guards in the league. If he can find something there and really – be the true motor for that Vikings offense, that could be a terrifying team down the stretch of the Big Sky next year.
And this is one of these teams that I think is a little bit of a wild card as well. I saw on your Twitter, in your Twitter profile, you are a graduate of Northern Arizona. I take a look at the Lumberjacks, and they bring back Jalen Cohn, who transferred in from Virginia Tech, averaging nearly 19 points per game last season. And after a couple of rough games to begin the season last year, he was really able to get things going. They bring in a guy in Xavier Fuller, who was a nice contributor over there at South Dakota. Carson Tote was able to give the team 9 rebounds per game. Nick Main stands 6'8". He shoots 40% from three-point range. Ezekiel Richards, he's a 6'10", true big man that's able to give you blocks. Problem is, you really don't have a lot of depth when it comes to this Northern Arizona team. You need someone like a Jaden Jackson from the great state of Wisconsin to be able to step up for the team a little bit. But I take a look at Northern Arizona. They did lose each other the last 8 games to finish off the season. 6 of those games, though, were by single digits. It felt like this team was relatively close. With all the star power that returns for Northern Arizona, I think this team could be a force in the conference.
I've covered NAU in the past, actually. Obviously, I'm an NAU graduate. I worked at the Arizona Daily 7 in Flagstaff before I moved up here to Montana. I was a beat writer for covering the NAU men's basketball team. I have seen a lot of NAU basketball, and they're always a team that on paper they might have one or two dudes that have popped. They had Jalen Cohn this year. 2 years ago, they had Cameron Shelton, who was one of the best guards in the league before he transferred to Loyola Marymount in California. They've had guys like Chris Yonku in the past when they were really good, and they went to the CIT tournament under former head coach Jack Murphy. But since that CIT run, NAU has just been in the bottom dweller of the Big Sky. They haven't really done much. And I don't really know if they can figure it out next year. They got Jalen Cohn, and as long as you got a guy like that who can pull up from 30-some-odd feet and score, even when teams are doubling him on high pick and rolls, you have a chance. But they need to start figuring out the rest of that roster. Tau is a solid big, but he's prone to foul trouble. He also, I noticed, gets some chippy, some dirty plays. He gets involved with some questionable calls, I noticed, against Montana this past year. Keith Heyman is still around. He's a streaky shooter. Nick Main somehow is still in college. He was there, I think, when I was at NAU. He's been around forever. So I think it's just Shane Burkhardt now has really been there for a minute. He's got another guy, Xavier Fuller, coming in, who Shane Burkhardt coached in high school down at Mesa High in the Valley in Arizona. He has something hopefully brewing, but I think he's been really struggling to find that identity and really mesh his guys. There's been a lot of outgoing transfers. Hard to really have a strong continuity down there. Been a tough job so far, and I think NAU, they're still in for some rough times ahead.
Yep, I do think that for NAU, probably not going to be a case of which you're going to be making the NCAA tournament or anything, but at the very least, you have a little bit of excitement, and I feel like you're able to say the same in terms of the excitement aspect for this school as well, as we do have Lance Hartzler joining me on the podcast. Does a great job with 406 Sports, along with the Missoulian, being able to take a look at all things that we've got in terms of Montana basketball, also an editor over there at Mid-Major Madness. And for Idaho, if nothing else, they were more entertaining last season. 2 seasons ago, that team was putrid on offense. They were averaging 61 points per game. It was unwatchable basketball. Last year, Idaho actually wound up averaging over 70 points per contest. Now, they played defense that would make Casper the Friendly Ghost blush, as they were in the bottom 10 in all of college basketball points allowed on a per possession basis. They could not get a turnover to save their lives. But at the very least, they were able to put the ball in the basket. But now you wind up losing Mikey Dixon. You wind up losing a lot of those guys that they were able to put the ball in the basket. Trevante Anderson was a relatively solid rebounder for the team. And, I mean, to their credit, they actually did a solid job being able to bring in a few transfers. Taryn Frank is a former top 200 recruit that was at TCU and Vanderbilt. They're going to be bringing in Devontae Moffitt, who at the D2 level for Seattle Pacific wound up putting up right around 19.5 points per game. Trey Smith saw some starts at San Jose State, but until Zach, don't call him Santa Claus, is able to bring the gift of being able to give this team a little bit of defense, I think it might be a little bit tough for them once again this year.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. They brought in a lot of transfers that look like they can kind of fill the roles of Trevante Anderson and Mikey Dixon, who really – they were the best players on what was a really rough team last year. It was a better team than we've seen under Zach Claus in the past, but that's not much better than what they've had been. They could score the ball finally. Mikey Dixon gave them some pop. Trevante Anderson was able to score when teams triple-teamed Mikey Dixon. So you just got to hope guys like Moffitt, guys like Taryn Frank, they can pop and give you some replacement and hope that maybe – you can start really, it's just like NAU, you can start developing a culture. And that's what's really been a problem for these kind of teams where they have a lot of movement, a lot of guys coming in and out. They're relying on fourth, fifth year seniors who are transfers to just kind of be 1 year mercenaries to keep the flow going. But they don't have any homegrown talent to really back them up. And they've been really struggling to continue any success or have a one-off year of just dominance or fun year. They're just kind of perpetually near the bottom of the Big Sky. Idaho's generally finished between 9 and 11, and now next year probably between 8 and 10. I don't see much anything different.
Yep, I don't know if I see anything different for Idaho State as well. They were bottom dwellers in the conference last season, and boy, they wind up losing their top scorer in Tariq Cool from last season. They do bring back Jared Rodriguez, someone who's able to put in right around 8 to 9 points per game. Very well-traveled band when it comes to sort of the mountainous region of the country in terms of playing basketball. I believe that he actually began his career at Idaho, but I do take a look at this bunch when Braden Parker is one of your top returning guys, someone who's able to give the team right around 3.5 to 4 rebounds per game. You're going to be relying upon Dax and Carr for buckets. I don't see a lot here. They did wind up bringing in Kobe Lee from BYU, but I'm not sure about you, but I take a look at Idaho State, and I don't think that there's a lot of hope for this team avoiding the bottom of the conference.
Yeah, I'm going to say they're much of the same that they've been as well. I mean, A.J. Bergen, he's a fun young piece out of San Diego, California. He gives them some pop. He'll be a nice replacement for Tariq Cool and Robert Ford. Robert Ford obviously transferred to Montana State. We'll be talking about them in a minute. But, man, that's not a lot to talk about with Idaho State. They're another rough team. Austin Smelly gives them some, at least someone who's been there a while. He's been in the system. He's been able to contribute. Daxton Carr is a fun player. He's a 6'7 power forward center who can hit deep shots and give you something. But they're another one of those teams that's just going to finish in the low end of the league. And really, they're going to compete. They might sneak a win. They beat UM in a really thumping last year. It was one of the weirder games I've watched all year. They'll be good for one of those, but once you get to the conference tournament time, they're not anything to really shake a stick at.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I think that it's going to be rough for both of the Idaho teams this year, a little bit more bearish on Idaho State, because at the very least for Idaho, you've got guys who are going to be able to put the ball in the basket, and when you wind up having games of no defense whatsoever, at the very least, that means that you're going to be able to get a little bit of scoring, as Lance Hertzler is going to be right here on the Big Sky preview edition of Coast to Coast Hoops. And but if we dive into the team that wound up representing the Big Sky in the NCAA tournament last season, Montana State, they do wind up missing a few guys from last season. That is going to be tough, but they still have a guy in Raekwon Battle who a few seasons ago wound up coming in from Washington, 6'5" combo player that's able to shoot threes. They did a great job in the transfer portal. We talk about Idaho State not having much. Robert Ford III is a big reason why Idaho State was not able to achieve what they wanted to last season, because he wound up getting hurt after something like 8 or 9 games. He was absolutely terrific for them a few seasons ago. They bring in Darius Brown II, who in terms of assist to turnover rate 2 seasons ago before things went straight down the toilet with the whole situation that wound up going on with CSUN and Mark Gottfried and company. He was one of the best players in terms of assist to turnover ratio in the country. They also bring back Jabril Bello, one of the top and one of the more unheralded big men out there nationally, in my opinion. Great Osabor is someone that was coming in from England. He's got a good, exciting game. I like what I saw out of Montana State. It was the first time in program history, by the way, at the D1 level, that they wound up winning more than 21 games as a member of the Big Sky. I don't know if they're going to quite get back to 27 wins a season, but Montana State, with all that they're bringing back, should be once again towards the top of this conference.
Yeah, I mean, last year was magic for Montana State. I mean, led by alumnus Danny Sprinkle, he just inked an extension with them as well. He led them to the promised land. They had a resurgence of all resurgences last year, and they were the beneficiaries of the extra COVID year. A lot of those guys that they had leading the charge, Xavier Bishop, Adamu, Muhammad, they were older guys, frankly. They were in their fifth, sixth years. So they had the benefit of just having guys who were able to play college basketball for a long time, really stick together. Most of them had been at MSU for a minute, for 2-3 years. And now you bring back a similar thing. Jabril Bell is the defending defensive player of the year and MVP in the Big Sky. You have that returning, you're going to be a favorite in the league. I didn't think they would be as good as they were last year. I ate crow on that. They were obviously phenomenal. They ran through the league, and they really showed that they were a good team. That continuity mattered, that they were able to really bring that forward. And if they can do it again, that's a dangerous team. I mean, Raekwon Battle gives you the pop they need. He's the exciting. He will dunk on anyone. He'll chuck threes that infuriate you, but he'll make them sometimes. Jabril Bello is your steady, heady guy in the paint. Tyler Patterson's a consistent three-point shooter. Great Osabor is just Jabril Bello off the bench. Nick Gazelis, guys like Sam Lechelak, another just beefy guys that fill the role. They have a niche with these really thick bigs that no one in the big sky can really match up with. And now you bring in Darius Brown and Robert Ford to replace Adamu and Bishop. If they can fill those roles even somewhat, you got exactly the same team, for lack of a better word. Like, they're not much different than they were last year. They have a chance to be pretty good again.
And I think that this team has a chance to be relatively solid as well. Eastern Washington, their 18-16 year last year, I consider it to be a rousing success under David Riley, considering all the circumstances. They made the NCAA tournament in 2021. They lost their coach in Shante Leggins, who he did a pretty good job at Portland last year, and they lost each other top seven scorers, but they wound up finding a man by the name of Stile Venters, who wound up leading the team with 16.5 points per game as a true freshman, and you wind up having quite a few of the guys around him, like Ryland Bergenson, Linton Alcilles, being out of the fold, but you do wind up having a few guys that like coming in via the transfer portal. Tyrese Davis is someone that's a nice 6'6" wing that's able to bury some threes, comes in from a Jacksonville team that was one of the better mid-majors in terms of college basketball defense. Dane Erickstrup is a 6'10" gentleman from D2 Cal Poly Panoma, who wound up being able to shoot right around 40% from three, someone that's able to give you some good rebounding. And I do think that Elias Magnussen, who has been with the program for quite a while, he can fill in for a lot of the assists that is left behind by Bergerson being out of the fold. I take a look at Eastern Washington. I don't think that they're going to wind up winning the conference or anything like that, but when you've got a guy like Venters that's able to put up 16.5 points per game as a freshman, I think that that number is only going to be going up from here. That's a good place to build.
Yeah, exactly. They return one of the best returning players in the league with Venters, and Ellis Magnussen ain't bad either. They lost some talent, obviously, but Eastern Washington, they're the type of program that David Riley, he was with Shante Leggins for a while. He knew the culture, and he's really just continued what Leggins was doing with Eastern Washington before he left for Portland. They play a similar style. It has a new look to it just a little bit. Riley's added on his own little flair. But for the most part, this isn't a much different program than what Leggins had. It's a very similar style. They run similar sets. They have a similar focus on hitting threes and, frankly, kind of pissing teams off. They play a style and they really like getting into teams' heads. They're that type of team that they're not afraid of a technical foul or to bait something. Everyone in the league I've asked kind of complains about Eastern Washington, their antics. It continues on and, frankly, it works. The program soldiers on. I think they're another team that really they're good for 500 at the least.
Yep, I am in agreement with you there. And with Northern Colorado, they've also got one of the most exciting players in the conference. As a matter of fact, they might have the most exciting player out there in the conference. Talent counts. You want to talk about making them counts? 21.2 points per game. That was 10th among D1 players in college basketball last season. Now, the Achilles heel of Northern Colorado is that they were outside the top 330 with regards to points allowed on a per possession basis. As they didn't play a lot of defense, but counts shot 42% from three-point range. Matt Johnson, who also returns, 13.5 points, 3.5 assists. He shot 42.5% from three-point range. Now, losing guys like Bodie Hume, Kerr Junkic, who were able to be very good role players for this team, that is an issue. So it is going to be a team that's going to be thinned down low. And once again, it is a case of which I felt like Montana State, a big reason why they had the success that they wound up having last year's season is that they played defense at teams like a Northern Colorado. They need to discover how to be able to play a little bit of defense. But if absolutely nothing else, Northern Colorado should be halfway decent once again this season. And this is a team that they're going to put up their points.
They're what Idaho aims to be, right? They are an all-offense team. They love the three ball. They were not shy at all to let it fly from three. I personally was a big Bodie Hume fan during his time at Northern Colorado. I thought he was one of the better players in the league for much of his time. Kind of underperformed a little bit. But Dalen Kuntz came from Colorado, transferred up to Northern Colorado, and just shined for that program. And he made the decision to come back instead of after briefly testing the NBA draft waters. He opted to come back instead of transfer again. He's like, no, I'm back. And that's, in my opinion, he is the best player returning. Jabril Bello was awesome. He won his awards, frankly, because Montana State was by far and away the best team. Dalen Couch should be the Big Sky preseason MVP. Eventually, he should win it. He is that dynamic. He's a phenomenal scorer at all levels. He leads that team. And then his running mate, Matt Johnson, is the perfect guy next to him. He plays a bit of defense. He's a great three-point shooter. They're the best backcourt in the league. Losing Jungkook is kind of a killer because he was their anchor down low. They really relied on him for rebounding and just easy dunks when that three ball was really opening up the floor. And he was their anchor on defense. They needed that back line. So I'm worried about how they adjust. But according from what I've heard, Jamal Melvin has been a good piece for them. He's a little skinnier, 6'11", 200, kind of thin, kind of wiry. But Jungkook at the end of the day was only 6'9", like maybe 230. He looked wiry as well. He was just a strong guy. If Melvin can kind of fill that role and really give them that element of defense inside and add to their depth, that's where that team's going to succeed. I see them kind of like Eastern Washington, right? They lost their head coach, Jeff Linder, to Wyoming. He moved on up. Steve Smiley, who had been with the program for a couple of years, he knew the culture. He slots in wonderfully, gets promoted, and just continues on, continues the culture, knows how to continue building. It's a similar program. That's what they need to do. They need to have that culture, and they've just kept building. Slot right in perfectly. And Northern Colorado, they should be good for being a top five team next year as well.
I agree with you on Northern Colorado being towards that top five once again. When you have a guy in Dalen Couch who is able to really put the ball in from three-point range, that is terrific. One thing that might be holding him back, and it seems like we agree, the fact that the team really plays no defense whatsoever, but nothing else, it's going to be a lot of fun watching them being sort of in that top half of the conference. And then we've got one team left to be able to break down, and this is a team that they've got a lot of new parts, including a new coach. That would be Sacramento State. Sacramento State did not wind up having things be able to work out last season. Brandon Laird was the interim coach after you wound up seeing a regime change pretty much in the summertime. It was a little bit sudden when it came to Sacramento State, so that wound up being a big issue. But David Patrick is someone that wound up having success at UC Riverside. Last 2 years, he was on the Arkansas and Oklahoma coaching staffs, and as a matter of fact, he takes a player with him in Akul Mawain from Oklahoma, a former top 10 JUCO transfer. So he should be able to add something for this team. Hunter Marks is a versatile player from Hartford that's able to shoot threes. At his previous stop of UC Riverside, he had a 7'1" gentleman in Colin McCray who was able to just fill things up down low. He is back and is actually a very good passer despite the fact that he's nearly 300 pounds. Austin Patterson is able to shoot threes. He comes in from Wofford. UC Irvine transfer Isaiah Lee, one of the better on-ball defenders that you're going to find. And what Sacramento State is doing is they're zagging while everyone else is zigging. As I'm sure that you would agree, the Big Sky full of a lot of teams that they love the three ball. They love offense. Sacramento State, it's clear what they're going to be doing. They're going to be looking to play a little bit of defense, and I love what David Patrick has been able to build.
Yeah, that's exactly when Brian Katz's teams were good at Sacramento State. They were a defensive-oriented, slow. They went against the grain. They didn't really play the same style the rest of the league did. They played a way that really just was kind of ugly to watch. I'm not a big fan of it. It's slow. It looks like you're watching the 1960s, but it worked. It looked good for them, and it's going to work. If David Patrick can kind of rekindle some of that, he brought in so many big guys, just lanky, humongous human beings. If any of those guys can provide offense and give you something, if your guards can provide spacing, they could be a solid team. It's obviously a building project. Sacramento State has been kind of a meh program the last couple of years. They had Bryce Fowler last year, who was just a phenomenal all-around player on what was kind of a meh overall team, but he was a bright spot. If they can find a replacement for him, whether that's Johnny Hunt, whether that's Austin Patterson, any of these bigs that they got, they can find a way to kind of change the culture at Sac State. I've heard wonderful things about Patrick from my media buddies down in Sacramento. They seem to like the direction the program's going. It obviously ended in a questionable way between Laird and the program. Katz even leaving early before the season for his personal reasons. Kind of put the program in a weird spot. Some people weren't a big fan of how Patrick got the job in response to Laird not quite being considered. There's some questions around that. But they've moved on. And if Patrick can build something and really have a culture there in Sacramento, that would work well. And that's a program that kind of is a little bit dormant. They got a strong football program. They got a decent athletics department. That's a program that really the Big Sky could use to be better.
Yep, and I do think that there's going to be some big strides forward taken for Sacramento State. And Lance, you're a man that you're going to be taking a lot of strides forward with regards to all the work that you're doing this offseason, as well as I know you do some work over there at Mid-Major Madness, 406 Montana Sports, the Missoulian. List goes on and on. You're a very busy man. You do a great job of covering things out there in the great state of Montana and a little bit beyond with regards to your work over there at Mid Major Madness. So let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along with your work on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, like you said, at @Lance_Hartz, H-A-R-T-Z on my last name. It's Hartzler, but I like to like a shorthand for everyone. Yep. That's where you can find me on Twitter. You can find my work on 406ntsports.com, Mazillion.com as well. And of course, Mid Major Madness. Gotta love giving the shout out to the old blog that covers the college basketball teams that not enough people pay attention to, but I think it's where the most fun is. Appreciate you having me on today, man.
Absolutely. And as I always say on this podcast, it doesn't matter if you win a bet on North Carolina versus Duke or if you wind up winning it on Sacramento State versus insert your Colonial Athletic Association team here. They all wind up counting the same. And Lance, he does an amazing job being able to take a look at some of the great mid-majors that we've got out there over there at Mid-Major Madness, engaging Montana sports in general. So a big thanks to him for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, the Big Sky Preview edition of the podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you my projector or finish for the Big Sky.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
We're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Ghost Coast Hoops with myself, Guy Hoops Peters, and now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. Big thanks to Lance Hartzler, doing a great job out there in the great state of Montana, covering a little bit of everything Montana sports, mid-major madness editor. He does a great job taking a look at all this, and he's got his iron in a few different fires when it comes to the big sky, as he is also an NAU graduate, Northern Arizona. So great to be able to get him aboard. Great to be able to take a look at these rosters in the big sky with him. And as per usual, when it comes to one of these conference previews, since I'm not doing the news and notes of college basketball from Thursday, we're going to get you guys covered with Thursdays and Fridays tomorrow on the podcast after I wind up watching the Minions movie. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So big thanks, Lance, for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you my projector or finish for the big sky, and clocking in at dead last is going to be our good friends, Idaho State. Just an absolutely dreadful year for them last season, and they're just not bringing in anything this year either, as it's very much a skeleton crew. You wind up losing Tariq Cool, who wound up being really the only guy that was able to give the team double figures consistently last season, and now having to rely upon Austin Smiley, who wound up putting up 7 points, 3.5 rebounds per contest. This was a team that was very poor on offense. This is a team that they were pretty poor on defense last season as well. There's just really not a lot of redeeming qualities when it comes to this team. They bring in Jay Nagle. He was able to give UC Santa Barbara a few points per game after he was a top 500 recruit in his recruiting class. But you just take a look at what's coming back. You're going to be relying upon Dax and Carr for big minutes. Jared Rodriguez, I was a little bit impressed by him last season, as he was able to do some relatively solid things. A guy that was able to put up right in the neighborhood of about 7 to 8 points per contest. He's got a little bit of versatility. He's able to pull in their 4 rebounds per game. But when that's really your main guy, then you're looking to build around along with Braden Parker, who's able to give you right around 4 rebounds per game as well. Really leaves you in a big, giant horse piece situation. Kobe Lee should be able to come in from BYU. He was someone that in high school was very, very solid, but just has never been able to stay healthy himself. So it's a team that's really breadth of guard play. I think that's going to be a very long year for them. So at number 10 in my projector of finish, I am going to be going with Idaho State. And number 9, we're going to be going with the other Idaho school. That would be the Vandals. As out of 358 D1 schools, they were in the bottom 5 in college basketball on a lot of defensive metrics last season, as they let teams really stomp the yard on them in terms of 3-point shooting percentage. They were dead last in the country in terms of steals force on a per-possession basis. Now, they were able to do a good job of being able to kick things up on offense. They scored 10.9 points per contest more last season than they did 2 seasons ago, but you wind up losing Mikey Dixon along Trevante Anderson, their 2 top scorers, who combined average 31 points, 8 boards, 5.5 assists per contest. So Dixon was shooting about 40% from 3-point range. They do bring back Rashad Smith, 10 points, 5 boards, shot 44% from 3, and Terrence Frank, he was, according to 24/7 Sports, the number 175 recruit in the class of 2020. He's a 6'8" combo player, shot 38.5% from 3-point range while he was at TCU. You do bring in Trey Smith as well. He wound up making 22 starts out there in the Mountain West with San Jose State, right around 8.5 points per game. But now you're looking for help from someone like a Yusuf Salah, who was able to put up 6 points per contest. Nigel Burgess, he comes in as a top 275 recruit. And Devontae Moffitt, I will say, at the D2 level, he put up 19.5 points per game when he was at Seattle Pacific. But until this team winds up giving you anything whatsoever on defense, really aren't to have a lot of faith in them. I do think that it's going to be a core in which they're going to be able to put up some points to their credit, but I just don't see this necessarily being a team that is going to be able to hold teams to below 80 on a night in and night out basis, and that's really going to hurt them. So at number 9 in my projector finish, I'm going to be going with Idaho. At number 8, Portland State is going to be the team. And for Portland State, they actually closed out last season with a flurry. They won 10 out of their last 14 games after a 4-13 start under first-year coach Jace Coburn. But what is really big for the team is that they lose darn near everything from last season. So this is the second straight year in which they are pretty much having a turnstile. Each out of their top 8 scorers from last year are gone. Now, Cameron Parker, who has familiarity with the conference, last season he was at Montana. I believe that he is a native of Portland. He had 9 points, 4.5 assists, committed just 2 turnovers per contest, mid-30s three-point shooter. And while he was at Sacred Heart, had a D1 record, 24 assists in the game. That's going to be able to help them out. Jarrell Satterfield, he shot 43.5% from 3-point range in Conference USA for UTEP, but not necessarily a volume score, 6 points per contest. Bobby Harvey is someone that's coming in from IUPUI. He was injury-riddled. And the question becomes, can Keyshawn Sanders get back to what he wound up doing his freshman year while he was at Toledo? He averaged 7.5 points per game, shot right around 37-38% from 3-point range, saw a dip in his production each out of the last 2 seasons, so below 4 points per game last season. Kendall Munson, he's going to need to try to give this team a little bit of something down low. He was the number 3 rated recruit from the state of Washington, according to 24/7 Sports, for the year of 2020, but at Pepperdine, just was a big giant stink burger. You really don't have a lot down low in terms of this team. I like Cameron Parker out there in the backcourt, but I think that it's going to be another situation that, with all the moving parts, Portland State is probably going to be a tough out towards the end of the season, but at the beginning of the campaign, it is going to be a little bit brutal for them. So, number 8 in my projected finish, I'm going to be going with Portland State. And number 7, I am going to be riding with Northern Arizona. The Lumberjacks wound up closing out, losing each out of their last 8 games, 6 of them by single digits. They were very close, and they bring back darn near everyone, including leading rebounder Carson Tout. He wound up having 8.5 points, 8.8 boards, and he was also able to dish out 3.7 assists per contest. Ezekiel Richards is back. After he down low was able to lead the team in blocks, he was able to get the team right around 4 boards per game. And then you've got Jalen Cohn, the transfer from Virginia Tech that came in last season and wasn't necessarily the world's most efficient scorer, but he's able to put up 19 points, 3.5 assists per game. He had 20.2 points per contest in the final 24 games of the season, and you've got reason to be excited with South Dakota transfer Xavier Fuller coming into the fold. He's going to look back to get to his 2020-2021 form, where he wound up having a 3-point shooting percentage of right around 36%. That dipped to 26% last season, though. He averaged right around 9.5 points per game. Nick Maines is someone that's very versatile. He's 6'8", shot 40% from 3-point range, 11.5 points, 5 boards per contest. They bring in Trent McLaughlin as well, 6'6". Combo player, was able to shoot right around 40% from 3. Team was dreadful on defense. They are hoping to be able to have a little bit of a turnaround with Liam Lloyd coming into the fold. He was one of the top recruits from the state of Washington a few seasons ago. Really did not wind up seeing a lot of playing time while he was at Grand Canyon. Northern Arizona probably going to have a little bit of a problem with depth, but I do think that they're building a little bit of upward momentum. I think the question is just being able to put the pieces together, and I don't know if they're going to be able to do so. So at number 7 in my projector or finish, I am going to be going with the Lumberjacks. At number 6, Northern Colorado is going to be the team here, as you've got Dallin Counts, who is going to make them count. 21.2 points per contest. I was 10th among D1 players last season, and he wound up shooting 42% from 3-point range. They also bring back Mac Johnson. He was able to shoot 42.5% from 3, led the way with nearly 4 assists per contest, 13.5 points per game, but you lose darn near everyone else, including Kerr Junkic, who was able to lead the team 8.5 rebounds per game. With him being out of the fold, Counts is the only guy that returns that wound up putting up more than 3.6 rebounds per game, which means that Dalton Necht, who wound up being able to give the team 9 points, 3.5 boards per game as a wing, he's going to need to really do some big things. Northern Colorado was number 32 among D1 teams in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis, but 331st in points allowed on a per-possession basis. This team could not force steals. They were in the bottom 10 in all of college basketball in that regard, and they do bring in a 6'9 combo player, Riley Abercrombie. He wound up beginning his career at Boise State, and then he went to Rice. Go Elves, as he shot 35% from 3-point range with that size in 2020-2021, 7.5 points, 4 boards per game. I think that he's going to make a difference for Northern Colorado, and Northern Colorado has an electrifying scorer, but you wind up losing someone like a Bodie Hume, who was able to do a little bit of everything for the team. It is going to set them behind the 8-ball a little bit, but I do think the Counts is good enough to be able to keep Northern Colorado towards the middle of the conference. I've got them number 6 in my projector or finish. And number 5, I'm going to be going with Weber State. With Randy Ray now out of the fold for Weber State, it does wind up causing a little bit of question mark. And Chico Sisu Jawara, he is also going to be out of the fold for the team. But the one thing that Weber State has is a guy that is able to stuff the stat sheet. And in a conference that really doesn't have supreme big men, you've got Dylan Jones, who was able to give the team 12.5 points, 10.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 1.8 steals per game, and shot 35.5% from three-point range. He is an all-conference type of player. Now, you're going to need Zaire Porter to be able to step up. He had just 5.8 points per game, shot 26% from three last season. After two seasons ago, he put up 12 points, 2 assists, and a steal per game while being able to shoot 42% from three-point range. They bring in Stephen Verplanken Jr., 6'4" gentleman that shot 39% from three in two seasons at Southern Illinois, one of the more low and slow teams in all of college basketball. Now, the question is going to be becoming, what do you wind up also getting out of Keith Dinwiddie Jr.? He wound up having 5 points per game on 45.5% three-point shooting a few seasons ago out there in the Mountain West. You also bring back Henji Tumba. He was at Tennessee. He is going to be coming in off of the new coach in Eric Duff. He is a 7-footer that was the number 8 recruit from the state of Tennessee in 2021, was glued to the bench, but with having guys like a Dante Bassett out of the fold, he should be able to do a relatively solid job. Depth, I think, is going to be an issue for Weber State, but they are going to be solid down low. They're going to be one of the better defensive teams in this conference as well. Even with Randy Ray out of the fold, I think that Duff, someone who has spent a lot of time within the program, he is going to be able to do a solid job with a program that they did wind up losing four of their top 5 scorers from last year, including Cody McKeown. But I do think that with what Dylan Jones is able to do, this team is still going to have some good versatility, and I expect Porter to be able to step up. So I've got this team, Weber State, number 5 in my projector of finish. And number 4, I'm going to be going with Montana. It is a little bit of a blow that you wind up losing Cameron Parker, but this is a team that did a very good job out there in the transfer portal. As they do bring back Aiden Moody to the Big Sky, as he was last year playing at Southern Utah, that is now going to be at the WAC, or if they would have been staying in this conference, Southern Utah, they probably would be, if not number 1, at the very minimum in the top 3 in this conference. He wound up shooting 88% at the free throw line last season, 40% from 3, 6.5 points per contest. You are still going to be bringing back Josh Vasquez, who's going to be looking to get back to the 2020-2021 form, where he wound up having 8 points per contest, a gentleman that wound up shooting over 90% the free throw line, a 39% 3-point shooter as well. The big thing is going to be looking for a little bit of facilitation, and while that's going to be a big question mark for this team, what you do also wind up having is Brandon Whitney back in the fold, who wound up having 11 points, 2 assists per contest. Now, with Montana, they also need to do a better job on the glass. They got a rebound edge at 16% of their missed shots. That was 355th out of 358 D1 teams, but you do wind up bringing back Josh Bannon, the man from down under, comes in from Australia, 15 points, 8 boards, shot 35% from 3-point range. I do think that Deshaun Thomas, who is a starter for Colorado State, wound up putting up right around 6 points, 3 rebounds per game. He's got a nice game as a 6'9 stretch player where he's able to shoot over 40% from 3. He is going to instantly boom in this conference. Montana, very well coached team. I do think that you're going to be able to see this team once again be towards the top of the conference. I don't know if they have the horses to be number 1, but I do think that they're going to be maintaining a top half of the conference pedigree. I've got them number 4 in my projected order finish. And number 3, I'm going to be going with Eastern Washington. They were a nice surprise last year because true freshman Stile Venters, he put the team on his back. He wound up being able to deliver a little bit over 16 points per contest last season. And given that they really lost each of their top 7 scorers and their coach from the team that made the 2021 NCAA tournament, it was a rousing success that they wound up going 18-16 last season. Mr. Venters shot 43.5% from 3-point range. They bring in Tyrese Davis. He was a part of a Jacksonville team that was one of the best mid-major defenses in all of college basketball. 8 points, 4.5 rebounds, shot 42.5% from 3-point range. David Bohm, he's going to be coming in from Northern Kentucky, where he was able to register right around 7.5 points per game in two seasons there. And Dane Erickstup, he is a D2 transfer that comes in from Cal Poly Paloma. He is 6'10". Last season as a true freshman, averaged 11.5 points, 5 rebounds, and shot over 40% from 3-point range. That is tremendous. Now, Rylan Burgesson being out of the fold, that hurts this team, along with the duo of Angelo Algieri, along with Linton Alciles being out of the fold. Algieri and Alciles, 28.5 points, 14 rebounds between the two of them, but is going to be able to help out this team, bringing in Ty Harper, someone who comes in from Louisiana, a guy that's able to shoot 36% from 3-point range. This team is going to be a little bit tough down low, but Elias Magnuson, I think that he's going to be able to fill in for Rylan Burgesson pretty well, because before he wound up getting into the fold during the 2018-19 season, he was a primary ball handler, 4 assists per contest for a team that did wind up playing very much up-tempo last season in more of a reserve role, was still able to give out 2.5 assists per game. He's very much a pass-first guy, and I think that Stile Venter Hunters has a chance to go off, be that next 20-plus point per game scorer out there in a Big Sky that we're going to call it what it is. It's not necessarily known for its defense. So at number three, in terms of my projector or finish, we're going to be going with Eastern Washington. At number two, I absolutely love what this team has done in the offseason, and we're going to ride with it. Sacramento State, it was a big-time calamity for the team last season. Brian Katz stepped down relatively abruptly. Brandon Laird took over the program and wound up going 11-18. It was a little bit of a washout, and for Sacramento State, they did wind up losing quite a few pieces from last season, but they did wind up retaining a couple of guys as well as Zach Chappell along with Cameron Wilbon. They are a pair that wound up averaging 20.5 points, 8.5 rebounds, 2.4 steals per game at Chappell. He shot 36% from three-point range last season. Smaller sample size 2 years ago with the pandemic, but made 50% of his three-point range, and this team wound up just ravaging the Big West of transfers. Isaiah Lee, he was a part of a UC Irvine team that they wound up playing some of the best defense at all of college basketball. He was a 40% three-point shooter for them, one of the better on-ball defenders in this conference. It is clear what Sacramento State is doing. They are seeing a Big Sky in which nobody plays defense, and they wind up bringing in David Patrick. Former UC Riverside coach, does a great job being able to preach defense, was an assistant at Arkansas and Oklahoma the last two seasons, and won the gentleman that he wound up coaching at Oklahoma, a Colin Wayne, after he wound up seeing a lot of the bench last season. He comes in, according to 24/7 Sports, he was the fifth rated JUCO transfer from the 2021 season, has a little bit of stretchability at 6'8". They bring in Oregon State's G&I Hunt, who wound up having 5 points and 2.5 assists per contest on 37% three-point shooting when the team wound up making the Elite Eight in 2021. Played just 9 games last season. Him coming off of injury, I do think that he's going to be able to boom. Hunter Marks, he's a 6'9" combo player who wound up putting up 12 points per contest for a team that 2 seasons ago in Hartford made the NCAA tournament. Last season was able to deliver 4.5 boards, 2.5 assists, 1.3 blocks per contest. And then on top of that, you bring in Kyle McCray. He is 7'1", and he is going to be one of the best rim protectors in this conference. 11.7 rebounds, and he's 7'1", and is able to give out 2.5 assists per contest. I absolutely love the job that he wound up doing, Mr. Patrick did, while he was over there at UC Riverside. I think that he's going to be able to do a good job here. I've got Sacramento State with doing just a masterful job in the transfer portal as my number two team, and my projector or finish for the Big Sky, and I've got Montana State repeating. I've got them number one. The Bobcats won 27 games last season after in each of their first 58 years in existence in the Big Sky, winning 21 games or fewer. You wound up seeing Mr. Danny Sprinkle do an absolutely amazing job with this program, and they do have to replace two of their top three scorers, but the one guy that's returning, Jabari Obello, he wound up being able to lead the team with 6.5 rebounds, 1.8 blocks per contest to go with his 13 points per game. Montana State was one of the best teams in terms of opponents' offensive rebound rate. Opponents could only pull in 20.8% of their missed shots. That was in the top 15 in all of college basketball. And then you've got a guy in Raekwon Battle who wanted coming in from Washington. He and Tyler Peterson combined for 15.5 points per contest, combined to shoot 36.5% from three and 87.5% at the free throw line. This was a top 20 team in terms of free throw shooting percentage last season as well. A clean bill of health for Robert Ford III is going to be big. He was out there for Idaho State 2 seasons ago, putting up their 11.5 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.2 steals per game on 36.5% three-point shooting, was injured last season, and then you also wind up bringing back Nick Gonzalez, another good sharpshooter, made 87% of his free throws, 36% from three-point range. Great Oboser, that's a great name, 6 points, 4.2 rebounds per game as a true freshman with 7.5 points, 5.2 rebounds per game in the final 13 games. He was able to get better down the stretch, and this team has facilitation, one of the more underrated transfers in this process, Darius Brown II. He was at CSUN Cal State Northridge the last few seasons before Poop wound up hitting the fan during the 2021-22 season, where he had an interim coaching regime and things wound up just going to mush 2 seasons ago at CSUN. 10.5 points, 4.8 rebounds, and 5.3 assists per game. His assist to turnover ratio was 3.6. That was in the top 10 among qualifying D1 players that season, and he's able to shoot in the mid to high 30s from three-point range. You bring in Caleb Fuller from the Big West as well. Career 35% three-point shooter at 12 points, 5.5 rebounds, and 2 assists per game as a 6'5" wing player. Montana State, I think, is going to be able to repeat. I think that Mr. Sprinkle is doing an absolutely amazing job with this Bobcats team. I don't know if they're going to be able to win 27 games once again, and this is going to be one of the tightest conferences conferences out there in all of college basketball, in my opinion. But in order to be the champ, you've got to beat the champ. And I don't know if anyone's going to be able to take down Montana State. So I've got them number one in my projector finish for the Big Sky. And that will wrap things up for the Big Sky preview edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSIN family of podcasts. A big thanks to Lance Hartzler. Does a great job being able to follow everything Montana over there at 406 Montana Sports. And on top of that, he does a great job as an editor over there at Mid-Major Madness. He wound up joining me in the second segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you've got one or two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_d1. Keep in mind, letters EM, I mean, does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Otherwise, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Going to be doing a conference preview much like this one for every one of the 32 conferences. Deep dive on all these teams. And then once we get back in season, fix an analysis on every single game every single day. So I'll chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.